Honor to be back tonight in the tabernacle. I appreciate certainly the privilege of being here. I appreciate the invitation and just thank God for this meeting. I appreciate the AG family. Our paths have crossed quite a bit in the last few years as we travel the roads, and a wonderful family, and they always bless my heart when they sing. And I appreciate their ministry and how God is using them. Super talented. And you know, I'm thankful that God's raising up some younger people in our crowd, that God's using these younger people, and what a blessing that is to me. And I pray that God will raise up some more. We need some more. I appreciate the meeting thus far. I wasn't able to be here this morning, but I did see part of it online. And I was on that online audience this morning. I was watching Brother Williams from Ohio preaching. Young, fantastic young preacher, of course. Brother Dana Williams is one of my favorite preachers on the planet. And then Brother Ronnie Barefield. All you can say about Brother Ronnie, he is a character and a half. He is a character. I love Brother Ronnie Barefield. And out there in Mississippi, he's got a great meeting out there. And he's been over 40 years at his church out there, and man, it's a magnificent work out there in Ripley, Mississippi, and I appreciate him so much. If you have your Bible tonight, turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 5. Last night I was struck by the burden of the meeting last night by Brother Winkler, and not only Brother Winkler, but by Brother Steve. Talking about the no doubt folks in this meeting that need to be saved. And we could probably say that in every meeting we go in. But the truth of the matter, it is the truth, and it stands true today, that you're either here tonight saved or you're lost. Ain't nobody here halfway saved. You're either saved or you're lost tonight. And I'm glad that if you are not saved, you can be tonight. And if you are saved, you ought to want to see somebody else get saved. Isaiah chapter number 5, and I'm going to read some very striking verses to me in the Word of God. Isaiah 5 and verse number 11, the Bible says this: Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. And the harp and the viol and the tabret and the pipe and wine are in their feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. I pray that you would help me for just a few minutes now, Lord, that I might be able to deliver the message, God, that you have impressed upon my heart for this hour. Lord, I thank you for the good singing. I thank you for this 2 weeks of meeting and all that you've accomplished. Lord, you've given your people some impetus to go on another day. And Father, we thank you for those who've labored in this meeting. Father, now you take our scattered thoughts tonight and use them, I pray, for your honor and for your glory. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. In the context of the scripture that I've read tonight, a subject is being addressed that we do not hear much about in our day. Matter of fact, there's a lot of preaching taking place all over this land, but It seems the farther we go and the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the less preaching on hell that we hear from our pulpits. It's still a real place. It's still a place where people who do not accept Christ go. And so we live in a time, if there's ever been a day, that we need to remind people. Now, I'm glad heaven's real, and I'm glad you can go there, and I'm glad I'm planning to go there. But the fact of the matter is, there's not everybody's going to go to heaven. The Bible clearly tells us there are two paths. There's a broad way that leads to destruction, and many there be. If you look at that, you think about the masses of this world, and many have never even heard a clear presentation of the gospel. And here, and then he says there, but straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and few there be. If you're here tonight in the crowd of the few that found that path, you ought to be shouting happy about that tonight. Y'all thank God that you got, that you, I tell you, I thank God for the night the old man of God preached, and I was under conviction, and God saved my soul. Old brother Clarence Stanfield in heaven, old man of God, had the touch of God on him and got saved in a revival meeting that night, just as a young boy sitting on the pews. I'm glad, praise God, that if you're here tonight, no matter what age you are, I'm glad if God's speaking to your heart, dealing with you tonight, he wants to save you tonight, amen. I began to think about, if you read in this passage I just read, he addresses some crowds that are headed down to that place. He talked about, first of all, in verse 12, he said, there's a party crowd. He said, the harp, he said in verse 11, said they're rising up and they're following strong drink. And then they got the music going in verse number 12. There's a party crowd that's headed there. If you look in verse 12, you see a procrastinating crowd. That's that crowd that didn't regard the work of the Lord. There's a lot of people today that, matter of fact, they could care less. They're not paying any attention to what God's doing in these days. They drive by our churches on a daily basis, and it don't even darken their thoughts to be able to go inside the house of God. They're not regarding the work of God. They've been planted in a place that has been enriched with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and yet they have driven past it, they walk past it, they ignore it, they shun it, and we're living in a day where people all around us are lost without God, but they've been hardened by living in the place that they live. There's the popular crowd. He said in verse 14, and said, the hell's enlarged their south, and they opened their mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp. You talk about it, this is that there red carpet crowd. This is those who think they are somebody. By the way, I'm not too much on the red carpet crowd. And I sure wish Southern Gospel folks would quit looking for the red carpet and go back to looking for the red blood. And he said, they're going down, and he said, there's that perverted crowd, the mean man, the wicked. And if you don't believe they exist in this, well, friend, you've got your head in the sand. There's some people right now that in this world, evil to the core. But what I really want to focus on tonight is this idea of hell. Many years ago, there was an event that took place in our nation. Matter of fact, 28 years ago, this culminated. Some of you weren't old enough to even remember it. Some of you weren't born 28 years ago, but some of you will remember what I'm getting ready to talk about. There was an event that took place in our nation, and at that time, it was the worst event of domestic terrorism ever committed on American soil. This was before 9/11. There was a bombing that took place in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, at the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building, the Oklahoma City bomber. And many of you will remember that, of course, it captivated our minds and our hearts when that happened that day, and the news came, and we saw the carnage of the building torn it apart. We found out that those inside the building, there was even a daycare in there, and there were children that were even killed in this tragic act, and they began a search to try to find out who committed this crime, and they ended up and they arrested a young man by the name of Timothy McVeigh. Timothy McVeigh had been a military man. He had served in the First Gulf War, but Timothy McVeigh had become disillusioned with the government, and this, I'm just giving you what the writers have said about it, that he was disillusioned at the Waco incident out there with David Koresh and the Branch Davidians. He was disillusioned at with Ruby Ridge. I'm not saying anything about those things, but I'm just saying that they said his motivation was this, and I don't know if that's the truth or not, but we do know this: something would have to horribly motivate a man that would senselessly take the lives of innocent people that day in that bombing. Matter of fact, it took place in April 19th of 1995. And that day, when you think about those people that were killed, there were 168 people that died that day and 680 that were injured in that. I'm talking about a tragic thing. Amen. And I'll never forget this. As we were watching, matter of fact, it took them 6 years before they finally brought McVeigh to justice and they sentenced him to die. And he died in, I've got it wrote down here, June 11th, 2001. And at 7 a.m. in the morning, Timothy McVeigh went out into eternity by lethal injection on June 11, 2001. I began to read, and I got interested in this story about this man, and I began to read some things they said about him. And prior to his execution, a newspaper reporter from Buffalo, New York, came and did an interview with him. And this is what Timothy McVeigh said to that reporter. He said this. He said, "If it turns out that there is an afterlife and I wind up in heaven or hell, I will improvise, adapt, and overcome." He said, "If I am going to hell, I'm going to have a lot of company." From the best I can tell, McVeigh was raised with a Catholic background, but in the end, he claimed to be an agnostic. And as they were interviewing him, I thought about this. I thought about this man that committed such a horrible thing. And you say, "Well, preacher, what are you trying to say?" Well, listen, I can only tell you what the words of this man said. Only God knows his fate in eternity, but from what we read and what he left, I don't feel very good about where he's at. But for 28 years, he's been somewhere besides planet Earth. And I promise you, when you take your last breath here, you're going to be somewhere in eternity. You'll either be like the child of God. Well, the Bible says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. Or you'll be like the rich man. The Bible said he died and he lifted up his eyes in hell. Boy, I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm glad, praise God, that I don't have to go there tonight. I'm glad that he saved me one day. I'm glad I missed hell. Hallelujah. All because of the blood of Jesus Christ and his saving grace. Hallelujah. I began to think about that. That day, I'll never forget it. It's vividly burned in my mind. That day that of his execution, they executed him by lethal injection at 7 a.m. in the morning. And I turned the TV on there just to see the news. And there was one of those morning talk show things that was on. And that old guy that used to be on there, Regis Philbin, was on there. And they were talking about the death of Timothy McVeigh. And that day he held up a newspaper or a publication from New York City. I'll never forget this in my mind. He held it up, I believe it was the New York Post. And it had a large picture of Timothy McVeigh on it, but the caption at the top is what really gripped my heart. When he held that picture up of Timothy McVeigh, that headline across this paper in New York City said, "He's in hell." And I thought, man, you think about that. That somebody did something so despicable that even the lost world recognized that somebody could go to hell. I'm preaching on this thought tonight on somebody finally went to hell. We're living in a day where it don't seem like nobody goes there anymore. Matter of fact, somehow or another, when everybody dies, somehow or another, we have gotten their soul that everybody, somehow or another, even if they just scoot in by the skin of their teeth, nobody ever goes to hell anymore. I got news for you, though. I don't care what your obituary says. It could have said you was a member of this church or you was of this faith or whatever, but unless you've been born again, you'll never see God's heaven. Amen. Oh, I'm going to tell you something right now. It's not going to be in what the good deed. Listen, you don't have to be a bomber. You don't have to be somebody that's done some evil deed. Simply rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ will cause you to go to that place. I begin to think about this. Of course, anytime they sentence someone to death, there's some last things that they ask them. They always ask them, said, what would you like for a last meal? Now, here's a man that's been arrested. They've been holding him for almost 6 years. And they ask him, said, what would you like for your last meal? He said, I'd like to have 2 pints of mint chocolate chip ice cream. This man's last sensation of taste in this world was ice cream. And if he did go where he said he possibly could go, the first sensation he had when he woke in another world, the memory of this world was there. Can I say to you, I thought about, they asked McVeigh, they always ask the person that's on death row if they have any last words. You probably don't know what his last words were, but he didn't actually have last words, but he left something, and I've got it here, I'm going to read it. And he chose to leave this as his last statement here on this planet. It's from a poem written in 1875 by William Ernest Henley, a British poet, in a book called The Book of Verses, and it was from the section of life and death. And it's a poem called The Invictus. And here is what Timothy McVeigh decided to leave us for his last words before he died. This poem simply says this: out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. These were the last words that this man left us. As I began to think about this, I said, there's many today that if you had to give your last words, you wouldn't probably say anything like this, but yet by your rejection of Christ and by your not coming at the wooing of the Holy Spirit, in essence, you have said the very same thing that McVeigh said. He said, I'm the master of my faith. I'm the one that's in charge. I'm the one that's in control. And he said, I'm the captain of my soul. Oh, I thought about this. When you think about hell tonight, you think about the hatred that's there. I watched as they arrested that man, and there was such a hatred for him for the crime that he had committed. I was watching it on TV one day, and they were moving him from the jail to the courthouse, and the crowds were gathered there, and the media was there, and they had him in shackles, hand and foot, and they had a bulletproof vest on him. In other words, he was so hated, they feared somebody might try to kill him before they could even get him to the courthouse. But I got news for you right now.
now. He didn't know anything about hate till he got to hell. Oh, I got news for you. Ain't nobody in hell wants you coming there. I hear these people say, well, my friends will be there. There's a famous rock and roll group, AC/DC, had a song called I'm on the Highway to Hell. And they said, I'm going down. It's party time. Oh, my friends are going to be there too. I got news for you. You ain't got no friends in hell. Ain't nobody in hell going to care anything about you. You talk about hatred, you'll find it because the absence of God is there. Oh, can you say that when you think about the hatred of hell, you think about all the hurting of hell, the pain. When I looked at those pictures of that building and I saw, matter of fact, some of you may remember this, the building was ripped in half and the smoke and debris and them tired firemen were combing through the debris trying to find if they could find bodies. And I remember seeing this picture, and the reason I saw it was later that year, it was Time Magazine's photograph of the year. And it was a tired, weary fireman who had been digging through the rubble. And he found the body of a little old baby that had been in that daycare. That little lifeless body of that baby. And he's standing there with his head bowed and that little dead baby in his arms. And somebody took a photograph of that. And they put it on the front of Time Magazine as the photograph of the year. You talk about pain and hurting. That was some mama's baby. There were people that went to work that day that didn't go back home. And that the hurting and the pain that caused. But friend, that don't compare to the hurting and the pain and the torment of the place called hell tonight. I'm talking about the Bible said where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, where their torment goes up. I mean, day and night, I'm glad. Let me tell you something right now. It is a place of terrible hurting tonight. It's a place of horror, darkness, outer darkness, the Bible says. And I thought about that. They said when they were moving Timothy McVeigh, when it came time for him to be executed, they were moving him from the prison where they kept him to the death house that they called it. They waited till cover of night to do that. They didn't want the media making a scene about that. And so he had been locked up for 6 years, hadn't seen anything in 6 years. And they said that night in the dark, can you imagine this? Prisoner, he's shackled and they're walking him from where he's been. He's in the dark, but they said that night the moon was out. And said McVeigh commented about, he said, it's been a long time since I saw the moon. And he looked up and he saw the brightness of the moon and he hadn't seen that. But I got news for you, in hell the moon ain't shining. In hell the sun ain't shining. You're talking about a place of outer darkness. You say, this is a heavy message for a camp meeting message. I know it is. But we're living in dark days. We're living in desperate times. You think about this. You say, preacher, what is it about this? And I give you this and I'm done tonight. There was four things in McVeigh's last words that really you could say that sends any man, woman, boy, or girl to hell. Number one, there was the rejection of the light. He said, out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank God, I thank whatever gods may be. I got news for you. There's a lot of gods, but there's only one true God. Amen. This world, we live in a world, and there's a lot of people with the popular thought that just whatever religion you want to choose, all the roads are going to end up at the same place. But I beg to differ with that way of thinking, because my Bible says there's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. You won't be saved by Buddha's name. You won't be saved by Muhammad's name. You won't be saved by any of the Hare Krishna, any of that. You won't be saved. Except you come by the way. Jesus said he was the door, didn't he? He said anybody tries to come up any other way is as a thief and a robber. I got news for you, praise God. There's only, if you reject the light of the glorious gospel, you think about how blessed we've been. from the time we just little, Brother Steve, somebody's sharing us the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of my life, even as a little boy, my mama singing them songs and telling me about Jesus. And boy, I tell you, all the while, here we was, sitting in the place, rich with the gospel, with the heritage, with the church, and the power of the Holy Ghost. And we got saved by the grace of God. And people all around us today that don't know anything about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, they're walking in darkness today. Hallelujah. And they're rejecting the light of Jesus Christ. Rejection of the light will cause you to go to hell. Number two, an unconquered soul will too. He said, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. There's a lot of people say, I'm not going to let nobody be boss over my life. I'm in charge of my life. I remember many years ago, as young preachers, we would go sometimes down to Johnson City, Tennessee, down at Freedom Hall Civic Center. They'd have those rock groups come in down there for rock concerts, and we knew that there'd be a lot of people down there, a lot of young people down there, and we'd go down there and hand out gospel tracts and preach. And I remember one night we were down there, there was a group by the name of Motley Crue that was there, and they named them right. And they were setting up, man, there's thousands there, and all these people going in, and they had a fellow that worked with the band. He was one of the roadies. He looked just like them, and they were out there setting up tables with T-shirts on the outside. We never went into the building, but you didn't have to. It was loud enough you could hear it out there, too. And then everybody in church says, I wish they'd turn that music down. Down there, they're hollering, turn it up! Amen. Oh, I love it. But here the way he was, he's putting those T-shirts out, and I walked up. I had a gospel track, and I looked at him. I said, hey, buddy, I said, could I give you something to read? I'd like to just give you something to read. And I'll never forget the look he gave me. And he stopped what he was doing. He just looked me in the eyes. And if looks could kill, I'd be a dead man right now. He said, I don't want your propaganda. And I didn't press it. I just said, okay, all right. And I walked away, and I've often wondered, Brother Steve, where that man is, if he's still even alive, I don't know. But that day, I handed him the light. And he says, I don't want your propaganda. Some of you are trying to get your loved ones saved, and it seems like every time you try to give them, they just reject it. Oh, we need to pray that God will open their eyes and help them to see. Oh, an unconquerable soul will send you to a place called hell. An unbowed head will. He said, in his last words, he said, in the failed clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody, but unbowed. I thank God for the day. There's a little old boy. I didn't know a lot about it, but I knew enough to bow my head. And the night I got saved, just as a little old boy down on an altar with my head bowed, family gathered around me praying with me. I didn't really know all I was doing that night, but you see, God did. And matter of fact, I still don't know all I did that night. I've just got a little bit of touch of it. I've seen a little bit of it. But that bowed head, I said, Lord, I recognize I can't go to heaven without you. I recognize I'm a sinner. And Lord, if you have me, I'd like to have you. And guess what? He did just exactly what he said he'd do. I thought about how many they'll reject that, won't bow a head. I've got a man in my church. He owns his own business, and he goes out and services customers in their homes. And we've had a lot of folks that's moved into our area in the last 4 years from other states that's left some of these big cities. And he went out to this house. This is what really struck me. He went out to this house to
perform a service thing on this for this man. And when he got there, it was an elderly man, 91-year-old man, living alone. No family here, anything, had moved from Indiana here. 91 years old. And when he said what was striking to him was when he walked up to the front door, this man had taped a sign on his front door, and this is what it said. It said, "If you find my body, call such and such funeral home, contact this number of a relative for me," and just gave the information of what to do if somebody came and found his dead body, because he lived alone and he knows that's probably the way he's going to go. And then at the bottom of it, he said, "Call them," and said, "It's already been paid." He put that on his front door. This man in my church began to talk to him and ask him, said, "You ever go to church, or you ever had any?" He said, "No, I don't believe in none of that stuff." He said, I don't believe in none of that stuff. I don't even think, no, that's real." And this man did his best to talk to this 91 years old. And he put a sign on there. He knows he's dying. You can deny believing in an afterlife if you want to, but you can't deny one thing. One of these days you're checking out of here. It is appointed unto man once to die. And if that book's right about that, the book's right about the second part, and after this, the judgment. You better believe that Bible's right. And here's a man, he wouldn't even talk to him about God, wouldn't talk to him about his soul, yet he's put on there, it's already been paid. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, if you're here lost, it's already been paid for you. I'm glad Jesus had done everything that's needed to save your never-dying soul tonight, amen. Oh, when you think about this, you think about an unbowed head, and then you think about the fact, no fear of God. He said, "And yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid." Timothy McDay left these as his last words from a poem called The Invictus. But I found this later in later years. There was a lady who had read these last words that Timothy McVeigh left. And she is a saved woman. And she rewrote this last words of Timothy McVeigh to fit her narrative. And this is what she wrote. A woman by the name of Dorothy Day, she titled hers, "My Captain." "Out of the light that dazzles me, bright as the sun from pole to pole, I thank the God I know to be, for Christ the conqueror of my soul. Since his the sway of circumstance, I would not wince or cry aloud. Under the rule which men call chance, my head with joy is humbly bowed. Beyond this place of sin and tears, that life with him and his the aid, despite the menace of the years, keeps and shall keep me unafraid. I have no fear, though straight the gate, he cleared from punishment the scroll. Christ is the master of my fate. Christ is the captain of my soul." Oh, Heavenly Father, we ask you tonight, God, to speak to hearts in this place. Lord, I thank you for the day that, Lord, I saw the glorious light of the gospel shine unto me. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, I don't have to fear when that time comes. And Lord, there's no uncertainty. Lord, I pray that tonight, that whatever takes place in this meeting, God, I pray if nothing else, Lord, this message will go home with someone tonight. God, I pray, would you help us? Lord, I said the title was "Somebody Finally Went to Hell." But Lord, the truth of the matter is there's been multitudes today on this planet
that had left this world and gone into that place. God, would you help us tonight now? Lord, in the furtherance of the meeting, Lord, I give you praise for what you do. In Jesus' name, preacher, you come tonight.
Let's all stand.